Starship Rokan Show with Hannah DeBlanc is up for another day. Broadcast insula.
Anyone else have trouble sleeping last night? And I don't mean because of the storms. I mean after watching that battle scene from Game of Thrones.
Stand by. No one say, don't utter another syllable.
We're not allowed to talk about it?
Hold on. Here's what we're going to promise our listeners and viewers on CLTV.
Okay.
That we will not give away any of the plot point.
No. Oh my God, how could you not know what happened?
Would you just
be quiet?
It was so
hard.
But you know what? I am sick and tired of you and your anti-Game of Thrones bias.
No, there's nothing anti about what I just said.
Kevin always gets irritated.
How could you possibly not know what happened in last night's episode at this point? Well, nobody shuts up about the show.
It's true because I didn't watch it in real time and I didn't look at my phone and I wouldn't even have any connection with anyone in the outside world for 2 hours until
right.
I had
true.
Seen it because I knew. And even you guys were texting me about it and I could hear it boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, I'm not going to check it
See,
out.
I had the same problem.
Look. I can't look at my phone.
I had to watch it afterwards.
Not answering the phone.
I didn't want to know.
Not
and
looking
then, and
at
I,
email.
And I saw all of your stuff come through because the team was going nuts. Because we do have, let's just face it, we have I've said this before, I used to try to build this show off of the Friends model. You know, like friends that get together and that, you know, that's it's a con, you know, the sort of, we live in the same apartment for at least 4 hours a day.
Sure.
Right?
Go off and do some of our own things, but we come back to
right.
each other.
Right. That's the idea. Now I'm building it on the Big Bang Theory because I have an amount of geekology on this show.
You do.
In terms of the cast members. It's insane. Except Kevin is still Joey. So that works out nicely.
Good.
I don't know who Joey is.
Oh gosh.
No, you're Joey. You're perfect. Anyway, the point is I'm not going to give away any of the major plot points other than to say things that you've already heard. Which is, and we're going to have somebody on from Vanity Fair coming up on the show to explain this. The biggest controversy about last night was how dark the show was. Not like dark in content, like literally dark on your television screen.
How you needed the night vision goggles, everyone was saying, in order to watch it, to even understand what was happening. You got lost in it, the battle scene.
Hard to say. The battle scene sometimes looked mushy and foggy and I think that there's an economics reason behind that.
I mean, I get that there is always this sort of fog of war thing you want to create sort of for the viewer, the feeling that no one, even in a battle, knows necessarily everything that's going on. But you lost track of which dragon was which at some point. You couldn't even tell.
Well, I don't know. How do you tell the dragons apart?
Well, one of them's pretty obvious.
Colors.
Wait, what do you mean colors? Are
one's
they different colors?
Green,
one of them has blue eyes.
And and
very white.
The dead one had blue eyes. Yeah, I get that one.
And it's on a different team.
Okay, I get that part.
Okay.
But there's the two dragons.
Yeah, if you look, one is more reddish and the other one's more green.
Oh, I never noticed that. See, now Kevin.
And the White Walker's eyes are blue, Ro, if you didn't notice those.
I know the difference between... All right, see, here's the deal.
This is the deal.
Are you guys sure you watch the same show?
Wait, no, here's the deal.
Lauren watches it with an intense detail that I don't think Ro does.
Right. I think that's probably true.
I did watch it back to back.
When I watch this, I know like the White Walkers or the dead guys that I know they walk funny and they got blue eyes. Okay, I know who they are.
Okay.
And then all the other guys on the other side, the alive people, you know, I'm not sure which ones they are. There's a lot of leather clad people that have swords and I don't know which house they're in. And I just know I kind of have an idea that they're on this side or that side. I know Jon Snow and I know Daenerys.
Yeah.
I know the mother of all dragons or whatever it is.
For sure. Those two are easy to pick out.
Yeah.
I was actually a little disappointed in them last night without giving anything else away. It was like, where are you guys? I wanted them to be more out there.
They were there.
Well, the dragons.
Well, the dragons. And that's the thing is that. What we all kind of knew, the dragons are cool because the dragons are like an air show. The one thing that when you're watching this, and Kev, eventually when you're, you know...
When you become cool.
When you become cool, you start watching this, you know, after it's all said and done. The one thing that is wild about this is that, you know, in a battle scene, all of a sudden, the dragons fly over, and they fly over like B-1 bombers, right? It's like, all of a sudden, they're loud, and they're making a noise, and they're like, oh, they're here!
But the undead or the White Walkers can be killed by fire. We know this.
The whites. Let's get this clear right now. The whites, which are like the zombies.
Hey, hey, hey.
The little
2019,
guys. It's spelled W-I-G-H-T-S.
That's how they get around
I-G-H-T-S.
It. Spelled different.
Okay. So whites can be killed by fire. However, the White Walkers cannot.
Wait, wait, say that again.
So the whites can be killed by fire, but the White Walkers, so like the boss looking guys, can only be killed by
their
Dragonstone
leader.
And Valyrian Steel.
Oh. Okay, but a good number of those millions and millions and millions of army of undead could have been killed with fire, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the majority.
And yet the dragons were not really as present as they should have been.
Right, the whole idea of their plan of attack to start the episode wasn't probably the brightest, but...
This is where Kevin, this is where last Tuesday night, this is where Kevin wanted to jump across the table. Why are you people shut up about this?
He's like, shut up! Why are we talking about this?
Hey, we let him talk about the draft for a while, too.
Exactly. Good point, Lauren. But, I mean, they had this thin line of, like, firewood that reminded me of my Girl Scout camping time. Like, it was, like, really thin, and that was supposed to stop them because they're going to set fire to that. That didn't seem like enough. It didn't seem like they planned this thing out very well.
Arnold Schwarzkopf? When did this...
Weren't you shouting at the screen when you were watching this unfold that there needed to be more or better plans?
The whole time, I'm just sitting there going, who is that guy? That's the whole time I'm looking at him going, who just died? Wait, did someone just die?
And like, I was hoping that the people I really didn't want to die.
Right.
But when it seemed like everybody was going to die, I was like, please don't take that person.
I was totally screen talking.
I was too, and I was stressed out.
Look out, Jess! No, look out!
I did the same thing, and I yell at everyone for doing that all the time.
Close the door, Arya! Close that door!
Don't take Brienne, please. She can't die.
Oh, hell no! That was most of what was happening.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in my little TV room, screaming at the top of my lungs.
But can we just say epic and amazing and just
phenomenal.
Incredible? The longest recorded battle sequence on film, according to Vanity Fair. We'll be talking to you later. In history, on both TV and film. It was incredible every second of it.
Ben Bradley's going to join us in just a few minutes. He's also a White Walker.
W-I-G-H-T.
I'm going to pass on the joke.
What? I'm like, who?
Exactly right.
He looks up from his phone like, what are they saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're more of a pale walker is what you are.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's what you are.
Pasty white walker.
Pasty white walker.
Get it right.
All right.
W-I-G-H-T.
Yes. We will get to Ben from the WGN-TV newsroom coming up in just about 2 minutes. But first, let's talk to Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe Marilek Lightfoot wants a plan in place to combat violence this summer. She's sitting down with the head of key safety agencies today.
Lauren Lapkus, traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Rob Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
All I know is after you called me that, everyone in the newsroom turned around and went, oh, no, he didn't. Did he just call you that?
Really?
So I'm guessing this is not a compliment.
White Walker. Is it White Walker you mean when I called you White Walker?
Is that like Texas Walker Ranger?
Do you watch Game of Thrones, Ben?
Never seen a minute of it. My brother and my kids dragged me to the Avengers movie this weekend, which I thought was painful.
Now, Richard Roper saw it twice. Lauren Lapka saw it as well.
Twice.
And the reviews?
It was amazing. I can't believe you don't like it. Was it too long, or are you not on?
Yeah, I mean, 3 hours is not good for my undiagnosed ADD.
82 minutes.
No, I'm the same way. It takes a lot for me to sit down and actually watch a movie.
Right.
Now we're on Avengers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Avengers.
Yeah, that was 3 hours long. And you know what? We were at the... one of the theaters without the recliners.
Oh, no, that's tough.
And my personal space was repeatedly invaded.
By whom?
Someone you know?
Well, no, people I know, people I don't know. You know, you don't realize how spoiled we've become. Because, when you're just in the regular seats, every time somebody has to go to the bathroom, which is a lot during a three-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
The other, oh, excuse me, sir. Oh, I just knocked over your popcorn. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to go to the bathroom during the movie, I was told.
Well,
that's what Richard Roper said.
He told you, go right before and go right after.
Dean Richards made a similar point. And any type of entertainment that comes with bathroom guidance, it just ruins the whole experience for me.
Oh, I see.
You start thinking about it then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, okay, can't go now. I can't go.
Like when you're driving.
3 hours.
I'm in the last, don't think about it.
I want to know if Ben was screen talking, though. I want to know if he was doing that. Look out, Captain Marvel!
Did you cry, as I've heard from so many friends, male and female?
What is there to cry about?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, because say
oh, I got it. Yeah, I wasn't that close to him, so I didn't feel the need to shed tears.
Oh, it's him. Oh, so now we know it's
spoiler.
Spoiler alert. I haven't seen it yet.
Alert. I've just been shushed in the news.
Look out,
Ant-Man!
All right. You sound really into it.
Mm-hmm. You guys want to go see Star Trek with me when the new one comes out? I'm your guy for that one.
All right, see, that's the way that goes. All right, can we talk about the news here just for a second?
Sir.
We've got the WGN-TV news coming up at the top. At the top of next hour. Right? 4 o'clock? I have that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so we have two things. First of all, there's a story about DCFS data showing that they're not keeping up with their workload, right?
Yeah, we wanted to get a sense after the tragic loss of AJ up in Crystal Lake last week. We wanted to get a sense of just how many cases DCFS is handling, because we've seen a couple of examples in recent years in which decisions were made that left kids in the care of people despite warning signs that proved deadly. So in the last fiscal year, DCFS received 197,000 total calls for service. Imagine that. 63,000 of them were reporting child abuse or neglect. Mm. So 47% of all the calls they received, child abuse and neglect. And that's actually down from previous years. So the question that we've been asking, we've not yet gotten a response to it, is, so how many of those are proven true, and how many of those are kids taken out of homes? But I think when I came across those numbers today, I think it really gives you a sense of how, while it's easy to blame child welfare workers in this case, and certainly the beleaguered Department of Children and Family Services has repeatedly shown itself to be incapable of helping some kids, saving some kids, they're also drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah, how many of those child welfare workers are there that match up to that? Those thousands.
Yeah, what
and
is
thousands
the average
cases,
caseload?
That would be the other
workers.
Number.
Yeah,
that would be
that's another great
meaningful.
Number to find out. Yeah, and there have been cases before, and any large agency certainly does have rogue operators in it or people who are out to game the system. But there have been awful cases caught by the state inspector general and others, in which that showed some caseworkers were not only not up to the task of caring for children, but were actually gaming the system and falsifying reports and things like that. So.
Scary.
Movies always make it seem like there's one caseworker per case, right? That's
and they can spend
eye,
all the time. They can sit outside
think.
The home, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And they're not. I mean, it's hundreds, if not over 1,000 cases per caseworker.
And right, everybody's gut is let's keep a family together.
Right.
It is no small task to separate a child from a parent.
Right.
And DCFS certainly doesn't treat it lightly.
Sure, put them in foster care, find a new home for them.
You have to find another.
Get some continuity for the child.
Relative that would be safe for that child.
In Cook County alone, 4,613 kids are being cared for outside the home. 2,000 of them in foster care. 2,100 of them are in the care of a relative. 425 of them are in a group home or institution. But think about that statewide. There's thousands and thousands of kids in foster care.
Yeah, and AJ was born with opioids in his system, too, so he needed special attention.
Warning
as well.
Signs from day one. Yep.
Oh, gosh.
So we're covering that for you today on the WGN News at 4. Also, this report, the workplace shooting in Aurora came out with a timeline of events and also just a dramatic level of detail from investigators about what those officers faced. And we also learned more about the motive. This apparently was a write-up over the offender not wearing safety glasses. And he suspected he was going to get fired because of it. And sure enough, the next day they called him in to fire him, and that's when he began shooting. But there was also, he had made a threat to an employee, and that employee did not report it. That employee just essentially said, he always says crazy stuff.
Yep.
So we've got that for you. Mike Lowe is covering that
crazy
story.
Crazy stuff is right. And then coming up also, one of the big stories that we'll be covering over the next couple of days is now that state legislature's back in session.
Yes.
When are we getting gambling and pot?
Well, so they're going to start talking about it in more detail this week. There are a couple of committee hearings scheduled. And keep in mind, we're in a race here because just over the border last week, legislators in Indiana approved sports betting statewide. And there's also, they approved a new casino for Gary, Indiana. They're going to move, I think it's the Majestic Star, out of Buffington Harbor there. That's going to become an intermodal area, intermodal transport. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put this new casino right along the Borman Expressway.
Right, an actual land-based casino.
Exactly.
Because that whole ruse of, we're on a boat now, got a captain, and we're going out to sea.
I need a bucket of water to splash on this giant barge.
Somehow you never need Dramamine on those.
Exactly.
I remember when Indiana first had those things.
Yes.
They hired a captain, and I said, does the thing ever leave? Not really. We found out we can't go today. We got maintenance.
Yeah.
Every day they got maintenance.
The governor of Indiana has not yet signed that bill, but you know Illinois is racing against other states, and certainly Illinois needs the money. So we're going to see. And there was interesting today, the mayor of Rockford took out a full-page ad in the Tribune. It was an open letter to Lori Lightfoot saying, hey, let's work together. Maybe Rockford can get a casino and Chicago can get a casino.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Ben.
We've got it all for you.
Thank you, sir.
The names you call me.
Kim Gordon, who is the, from the House, is she the lady of the House of Gordon? What is she? I don't know.
Lady Gordon.
Lady Gordon has the WGN News right now being brought to you by CD1 Price Cleaners. No, she's royalty. You're not, Ben.
True.
Remember that.
I yield the floor.
There you go.
Judy will always be the queen, but I definitely will take princess.
see what you did there. Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN and CLTV. Demetrius Ivory joins us right now from the WGN TV newsroom. And I ask you this, Mr. Ivory.
Yes, sir.
Are you happy that we didn't get the record, or would you rather be working during a record getting for the most amount of snowfall?
You know, I say if you're going to get this close, you might as well get a record, right? I mean, it's all about bragging rights.
That's true. You survived the April.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to tell your kids or grandkids, you know, oh, I lived through that, the sixth snowiest April on record. You need the record so you can brag.
That's true.
So we were, Saturday morning, we were out shooting. When I say we, I mean us. We're out shooting a promotional video kind of thing that we're going to do that had a little bit of a Game of Thrones theme to it.
Well, that's good.
And we're very lucky to have two people who look just like the cast members on the show.
Who are you talking about?
Richard Roper looks just like Jon Snow.
What?
Okay. Yeah. Demetrius like, okay.
We'll go with it.
I'm
thinking like everybody looks like Jon Snow now. I mean.
All right. Oh, easy. And Lauren Lapka, when we put the Daenerys wig on her, she looked like the mother of all dragons
I could see that.
Yeah. So we were out shooting this thing and it was snowing, which was perfect.
That's perfect.
We thought it was going to be birds chirping and, green leaves on the trees.
You have to darken the video or.
Nothing.
Know. Yeah.
It was perfect. So that the video is forthcoming, but that worked out. Then about 2 hours later, I'm going to the store and I get out of my car and I felt like I was in an ice maker. Like, you know, the ice makers that, like, make pebble ice for McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
It was like thick pieces of pebble ice hitting me on the face.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was out. I had my kids out, and everybody wants to stop me and ask me, what is this that's falling in our face? You know, and I'm like, look, dude. I just want to get inside, you know?
No autographs.
Take this inside.
It was everything. I mean, it was rain. It was sleet. I mean, everyone loves the cold rain when it's 35 degrees and raining. That is probably the least most favorable weather pattern. But, you know, we had sleet. We had rain. We had snow. It was kind of everything just all mixed in together. Just an icy mess.
Let me ask you this. I bet your kids loved it. Did they love it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're outside taking pictures, and Aaron's taking pictures of them, and I'm like, let's go.
Right.
You know, but it was, the kids loved it, and you know, I think, hopefully, it was the last snow of the season for them. It's funny, I bumped...
When you said, wait, you're the weather guy. What do you mean, hopefully, this is the last weather?
I'll tell you why. I said it. I actually said it before the April 14th one. I said, this is probably going to be it. This is it for the year.
Yeah.
And then it came. And then after that, Bill Snyder was going to kill me for saying that he said that.
Weather producer.
After April 14th, said, we're done. That's it. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are once again. So I'm going to wait until probably July 4th.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Then you're safe.
All right, you're just being safe. I get that. I you know why I have
otherwise,
the same...
people stop him outside
right.
when he wants to get inside and carry on with his life.
Yeah, I'd say July 4th, maybe the 5th. The 5th of July.
Snow's done. I endure the same emotional complexities. I totally understand. Okay. This week is still going to sucketh, though. Isn't that correct?
I agree, sir.
That's right from Game of Thrones.
I'm trying to figure out a way of saying sucketh. But.
He's speaking all Game of Thrones now. You just have to excuse him. Actually, all of us kind of are.
Did you watch it yesterday?
Your grace. Oh, yeah.
Did you need to turn your brightness up or no?
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was just me or...
Well, no, it's everybody. We're going to have... Demetrius, thank you for the plug. Coming up in an hour... We're going to talk to a writer from Vanity Fair who interviewed the director of photography about this. There is a very specific...
The former director of photography?
No, there was a very specific reason they did this.
You know, I was afraid that I was going to wake up today and everyone was going to say, well, it's supposed to be the Night King and the dark... Come on, it's on HBO and I can't see it, right?
It's very difficult. There's some parts I was very thrilled not to be able to see. I was so stressed during that whole thing.
So I'm sure he's going to have a great explanation.
The whole time, I'm like, is he dead? Is he dead yet?
Who's dead? That was the problem.
Where's Samwell Tarly?
Are you killing off my favorite characters? I wanted to know.
Oh, that shadow really got it. Oh, that shadow. Oh, I feel bad for him or her.
Is that a good guy or a bad guy?
All right, so weather this week. Hey, so kind of a washout this week. I mean, really, it's amazing how quickly we're going to change from that winter-like weather 2 days ago to this really spring-like pattern. And we're talking in some areas the potential for up to four plus inches of rain just by Thursday afternoon. That's more than we see for the, I mean, typically, that's actually an inch more than we see for the whole month of April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we've already seen a little over an inch, some areas over almost 2 inches, actually, just since this morning. So
yeah, it was heavy this morning.
And we're looking at another round that's going to come our way tomorrow afternoon. If you're looking to be dry to do anything, this evening is pretty good. Tomorrow morning's pretty good. But then Tuesday afternoon and evening, we're back in the house. It's raining once again, showers and thunderstorms. We'll do it again, I think, into Thursday. Probably dry early Thursday morning, but more rain comes our way. So
Wednesday clear during the day and then Thursday night again?
And then Thursday afternoon. But that would be more of a shower activity. I think the heaviest of the rain is going to be Tuesday night through Wednesday morning. Then we dry out.
Okay.
Then you know, Wednesday afternoon. So, you know, for a lot of those folks who have those baseball, those softball
yeah.
games.
Yeah, well, you know, we got the White Sox are in town. And the White Sox, you know, this is the White Sox station. You're the White Sox station. Mm-hmm. We understand these situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the White Sox have got 7-10 starts all week. So the question really is, are they going to get... They'll get tonight in.
I'd say forget about it. But you know, this far out, I don't think tomorrow's going to happen.
Okay,
there's about 80 or 90% chance for rain tomorrow.
Wednesday,
I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be looking at
Thursday is critically important.
Showers and storms
because we have a big event out there Thursday. So Thursday, White Sox game, you think we're getting that one?
No, I think that we'll be looking at some light showers. Probably the type of thing that
you play ball in, right?
Are you sure we can survive that, Rome?
I won't be able to survive it, but I know that that Kevin and Lauren will be able to survive it as they're giving away tickets at Cork and Kerry.
You're giving away tickets out there. Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're giving away tickets at a bar nearby. Mm-hmm. You know, it's 33rd and Princeton, so what are you, the block and a half away from the park?
Mm-hmm.
Not even, really. And you just show up, starting at what time? At 3:00, right?
Yeah.
When the show starts, and then there's going to be a couple drawings for tickets. If you don't win tickets, you can always purchase tickets. If you don't want to purchase tickets, sit in the bar at Cork and Kerry and watch the game.
Why not?
Right
now, do you usually have the problem where folks, when you do things like that, bring you drinks?
Yes.
We get that whenever we do. And it's like, hey, buddy, like, I don't know if this is like a game that you want to see the weatherman drunk on TV, but yeah, they do that a lot. And they're like, hey,
but you know what I say?
Here's some Jägermeister.
You know how I handle that?
How do you handle that?
I already have my own. That's how I handle it.
But then where's your drink? Don't they look for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have it. I already have one. I already have a drink in a moment like that.
What about when they say, hey, I've been watching your drink and you've been babysitting it for about a half hour?
Demetrius, they have never said that to me. By the way, it's all being brought to you by CH Vodka.
Oh, perfect vodka.
Thank you.
I'm leading us right down the path.
This is brilliant.
You know what?
It's like we scripted it. It was perfect.
I was definitely brought up.
Yeah.
Do we have other plugs we need to get in?
It's in my contract because it's all about this show has always been about the party, so there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
It's like telling Jimmy Buffett, don't sing those songs about tequila.
I'm leading us right down there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You've helped me plan out the week and feel a little bit better about this. You think next week we're going to get back to spring?
Well, you know, Saturday, Sunday, sunshine comes our way. Right, we'll be back into the the 70s. We're going to get into the upper 70s, mid to upper 70s on Wednesday, but there is going to be that rain early in the day. But, yeah, Saturday and Sunday looks pretty good. And we're looking at some rain, which probably is going to be back Sunday night. But, you know, I know what you're going to be doing. Come on, let's be honest.
I know. Sunday night. As long as my satellite doesn't go out, that's all I care about.
Get your night vision goggles ready.
That's exactly right. All right. Thank you, Demetrius.
Thank you much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye. All right. There goes Demetrius Ivory. Let us check in now with Kim Gordon. What's happening at the top of the hour?
Roe, the parents of 5-year-old AJ Friend back in court today.
Heard a very interesting story today, actually, about the NHL.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the executives at the NHL are very concerned about this year's playoffs.
Hmm.
Playoffs?
Why is that?
Because some of these teams aren't even selling out their own stadiums for the playoffs.
That's not right.
Uh-oh.
How about that? How about that?
Is there something about the games? Because honestly, when the Blackhawks aren't in it, I really don't watch playoff hockey. Is there something about?
I think the playoffs have been highly entertaining so far.
There have been some great games. The problem is that these are teams, and this is an interesting problem the NHL has, is that with the exception of original six teams and a couple of other major market teams along the way, there isn't a the traditional hockey towns. Mm-hmm. There isn't a fever for it. Dallas, home of the Dallas Stars.
Right.
Formerly the Minnesota North Stars, right? That's who moved down to Dallas. I never understood it. I never got it. I didn't get it. I still to this moment don't get it. And it took a couple years before Minnesota was able to get a team back. And then they came up with the dumbest name ever. But it's a separate issue. I don't know. Don't even get me started.
Okay.
The Dallas fan base, there were empty seats. Empty seats.
That's not good.
In the playoffs. Now, how does that happen?
These aren't the normal top-tier teams. That's also part of the problem.
I think that is a big part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and you saw it's been a crazy first round where all top four seeds went down. And you have Columbus and Carolina. Those aren't necessarily huge towns.
That's what their concern is.
Right.
Now, Columbus will probably, the audience in Columbus goes. Because it's not that gigantic, a stadium in there. But it's not going to be a big television draw. And that's where the folks at NBC are concerned. And they're considering, how crazy is this?
What?
They are considering changing up the cost of coverage for these.
That's not good.
For the Stanley Cup, if it turns out that it's, you know, Columbus versus Dallas, God forbid.
God forbid.
Right? I mean,
not that you're rooting against
anyone. Even I might turn to Game of Thrones then on the night the Stanley. Forget this. I'm watching the Wizards and Dragons tonight.
What was that you were saying before the NFL draft was drawing more?
Oh, massive numbers
than
this weekend,
playoffs.
Which isn't really a surprise. Anything the NFL does will outdraw. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. I mean, a preseason NFL game will outdraw a baseball playoff game. I mean, it's crazy. They had huge numbers over the weekend between all three channels combined, which was ABC, NFL Network, and mm-hmm. ESPN. So
I finally got an answer, too.
Oh, on the Corso thing?
Yeah.
And he just got off
Lee
the
Corso
set.
Lee Corso got up and left.
He just walked off.
They said he just got up and walked off. I think he had to go to the bathroom. I thought there were a lot of reasons.
But he didn't do it during the break, right? He just sort of said, okay, I'm out. And he kind of shook people's hands and exited collected his stuff and walked off.
They said he's Lee Corso. He can do whatever he wants.
Wow, that's
right, that's
true.
All I could really find on it.
That's all I could
he
find,
just
too.
He decided maybe one day he always wanted to get up in the middle of a set and walk off.
And he did.
Well,
he
also saw that they didn't plan to have him for the entire time, but that doesn't mean you do it that way. You just sort of get
it. Okay, guys. Gets thrown out the window when you're Lee Corso.
Right. Yeah. There are no rules.
I guess so.
Right.
Kind of like when Ditka was on the set, remember?
Right.
He just kind of did what he needed to
do. Well, now there were some rules that did get applied to Ditka eventually. Yeah.
Can't say that.
Now, folks, listen to me. You know what the problem with these people are? Is it no.
Football.
No.
Football. Puck football. X's and O's.
But Corso, I think, quite honestly, I think what happened there in the draft show is that he thought that Dwayne Haskins, a kid from Ohio State, was going to be drafted number one, and he had a Haskins head. You know, the whole Lee Carso bit is he puts a helmet on, or a mascot helmet, a mascot on, mascot head on, at the end of College Game Day. And so he put a Dwayne Haskins head on. And I think he thought he was going to go first, or at least in the first couple of picks, right? Either first or sixth, when the snake bit New York Giants were set to pick for a quarterback. And instead of going with Dwayne Haskins, who's, you know, a proven, everybody's, since day one, people have been saying this is an NFL quarterback because he's a pocket passer. He's not like a run and gun guy like a lot of college football players are. And when he didn't go, when the New York Giants decided to go with a guy nobody heard of from a lacrosse school, they this became a huge controversy. And I think that's when he decided, hey, I'm out of here. And he just,
he was deflated from it.
He was like, how long do I have to wait? Then he started to think, well, maybe there's something about, you know, because you've seen this happen with quarterbacks who thought they were going to go in the first tier. And then they ended up maybe slipping to the second round. So he thought, am I going to sit here all night waiting for this crap? No, I'm going home.
This is like me at dinner when you guys were talking Game of Thrones. I just got up. I said, I'm done with this. Good night. I'm out of here.
Mrs. Carson's making Tetris. See, neither that. I'm going home.
It was nice how you kind of collected your food, too, before you left. You know,
it's like, a go bag and I'm out of here.
Took all
grabbing
the duck.
It was delicious. Duck.
Pass the appetizers over here. I'm taking off.
Yeah, you gotta share a little before you leave.
I respect Lee Corso for that.
Yeah.
Screw it. What are they gonna do?
Well, are they gonna fire him?
Yeah, right.
What are you gonna do? He gets to do that.
Lee, we need to talk about this. Yeah, okay.
He may be the only reason I watch that show, and I watch it religiously.
I know you do.
Get up. It starts now at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, on Saturday mornings.
It's like the morning shows now. They keep adding hours to it.
It's no matter what time you wake up, you think you've missed something.
It is the best produced sports show on television, though, without question. So
make it fun.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's fun to watch.
On a college campus, and you learn about the traditions, and that's the beauty of college football. College football is the best thing going in all of sports, as far as I'm concerned. But
it's pretty cool.
That's it. Yeah. And I like what they did. And ABC did a great job with that. And ESPN did a great job. And the NFL Network did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
It was a ton of fun. And they made that into a ginormous spectacle, as it kind of should be. So
really should.
All right. Don't anybody move. We've got Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And she's going to be bringing you your all the news that's fit to print coming your way in 2 minutes. Con Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. We just said goodnight to CLTV. Good night, CLTV.
Good night, friends. See you tomorrow.
And now it's just it's the radio, it's the internet, it's the World Wide Web.
We're everywhere.
Right. Like dog poop.
We like to think so.
Yes, that's how I look at it. All right, A.B. Stoddard is joining us right now, and I'm sorry for that introduction. That's a bad way to start the show, but we're going to do it anyway.
I'm always going to drop a dog poop reference before you get me warned.
Well, listen, this is what the dogs do. I'm watching my my daughter's dog right now. They're moving, and so...
Puppy, cute little puppy.
Yeah, I got puppy problems right now. I got puppy problems like nobody's business, because it's an adorable puppy, but he's got his own attitude about everything.
Oh, gee.
And now my home is a place for him to find new places to test the nature of poop and pee against fine fabric.
My favorite is when they look at you and poo right in front of you, like on the carpet, right? Like, hey, I'm going to go here. Puppies, but they're so darn cute.
Yes,
cute.
Right, because if they weren't, you'd kill them. So that's how that goes. All right, AB, there's sometimes even this moment. I had to turn my TV off over the weekend. I didn't want to get sucked into this whole, you know, rhetorical thing that goes on. It's the White House Correspondents' Dinner has become my least favorite weekend now of the year.
Yeah, isn't because that funny?
It has turned into
it's pretty bad.
It used to be funny, and then you know it'd be a bunch of people, comedians or whatever, getting up and ribbing the president while he's sitting there, and the president getting up and ribbing the press, and it was always kind of good natured and fun. And then enter Donald Trump. And when Donald Trump decided he wanted to be in the political ring, he arrived at one of these things, and you know, they took his head off, right? Wasn't it?
Obama made a passing joke, please.
But it wasn't so much Obama. No. Obama, of course, Obama did. Yeah, right. But then the following year, the guy from Saturday Night Live has got his own talk show now on the Late Late Show with Seth Meyers.
Jimmy Fallon.
Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers. You know. Kind of took him out, and he was like, I'm not going back, and he got, and he turned it into, because that's what the president does. Everything, you have to be on his team or the other team, and it's professional wrestling. They're all bad, I'm all good, right?
Yeah.
That's how it is. And now we find ourselves in Looney Tunes town, because all of the niceties and politeness that at some time, you know, descended upon Washington is gone, and now everybody is in like battle scene from Game of Thrones to cut each other's heads off. And I saw it today in a way that was so crazy to me. The president going after the New York State Attorney General office for investigating the NRA for malfeasance. Now, the NRA has already acknowledged malfeasance here, right? You have the president of the NRA, Ollie North, not exactly an enemy of the right, who is going after Wayne LaPierre and saying that, you know, there was some fiscal mismanagement at the NRA, mm-hmm. and now they're fighting with each other, and it's all because of a state inspector general investigation into this, and now the president of the United States stands up and goes, hey, New York, stop investigating that. That is craziness.
Well, I mean, it's just immaterial to him that he's not supposed to use his perch as president of the United States to threaten the South Koreans on Twitter, threaten to boycott Harley-Davidson Company, a private American company, on his Twitter feed, tell people to, you know, tell law enforcement to stop investigations, stick up for the NRA. He thinks that he's gotten to this place where first of all, he always did this, right? He always told us what he thought on Twitter and bashed people and made up stuff. But now he believes that he has even more right to sort of come down on the side of his allies and to punish people and punish companies and punish countries and punish individuals. So I was actually with a senator who said to me today, you know, I really don't think that he knew that he was harming the country when he was trying to get Trump Tower done with Moscow, Trump Tower Moscow done with Putin, because that's all he's ever done, right? In business, he's like paid off the locals, paid off the state government. You know, this is like what he did, right? He worked with governments and to get what he wanted. And we can say it's crazy, but he's never going to stop. And I think that the people around him right now, with him inferring that Don McGahn was a liar, which to me is like the most alarming thing. I mean, it was full on like witness intimidation on Twitter. This man has testified under oath for the special counsel. I know his name appeared 500 times in the report, and the president's a little panicked about him under, you know, televised testimony in the House talking about obstruction. But he basically has, you know, he's called the guy in so many words a liar on Twitter, which, you know, people around him are really worried that he's going to get himself in more legal exposure that could follow him after office, whether he's impeached or not. And that because the Mueller report, I'm sorry I'm rambling here, but because it's done, he's even more sort of liberated
emboldened,
to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, completely emboldened. And it's, and I understand that this is his life, and certainly his political philosophy, which is if they punch, you punch harder. You know, you need to control the board. You need to control the momentum of the fight. You need to control the ring. You need to control all of those different things. And that's what he does. And he wants to always draw our attention to him, regardless of the appropriateness of doing so. And he does put himself ahead of the country. He does. And I think that's one of the reasons the people who love him is because he does, because they see in him someone who is representing mostly their interests and certainly their anger and their frustration. And so he's going to give it to him. You know, he's just going to, you know, give him a what for, but he's also going to lie about it. You know, I had a moment today earlier on a TV show here in Chicago where we were talking about the Jussie Smollett case and about we're asking the audience how they felt about this investigation into Kim Fox, who is the Cook County State's attorney,
right?
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people like, oh, just, you know, let her go. It's not a big deal. Who cares why she did what she did? The fact is, she misrepresented what she did. And I said that, you know, if you think that Kim Fox is okay, then Donald Trump's okay. People who go up every day.
That's a good point.
And misrepresent or lie, that's another word for it, and tell you this is what they're doing and that's not what they're doing, and they're representing you, they have to be called to account. They're public servants. This isn't like, you know, somebody that's, you know, just a friend who's, you know, lying to you or whatever. There's real consequence to their actions. And we have to hold everybody accountable. And we have given up. I mean, this is where like Lindsey Graham over the weekend, Lindsey Graham said he doesn't care what Don McGahn and Donald Trump said to each other about, you know, firing Mueller. Doesn't care about that. Well, he was
concerned about Bill Clinton dishonoring the office, even if he hadn't committed crimes.
Right.
But you can easily reach a threshold of dishonoring the office, which becomes an impeachable offense, and according to him, in the 90s. He's a lawyer. He's now the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
You know who he is?
This is a very powerful position, and the fact that he, just like you said, is refusing to hold the President of the United States to account for any of the stuff that's in the Mueller report, which is shocking. Shocking. And the fact that we are supposed to roll our eyes, go along with it, become numb, that's the problem for the Democrats, Ro, is that they don't want to impeach the president and take a divided country down this, you know, to the toilet, to a more divided state, right, to a really, really upsetting and painful time. But their job is to protect the system, right, and their constitutional responsibility is to preserve the separate and co-equal powers of the legislative branch, which is to serve as an executive, as a check on the executive, so it's not unaccountable, so we don't have a king and a dictator running around endeavoring. All you have to do is endeavor to obstruct justice. You don't have to successfully complete your obstruction. So under this definition, especially if Mueller comes up and says, yes, that's what I was doing, I was passing it along to you guys because this is what we found, and, you know, it's up to the Congress, he can't be indicted, that they're in this horrible position of rendering impeachment as a remedy for holding him accountable, for holding a president accountable, completely meaningless forever in the Constitution, from neutralizing it to nothing.
Lindsey Graham.
Or dragging us through, you know, a really painful thing the country doesn't want to see.
And the consequences in the election, I think, are also something meaningful, that you look at what impact that may have on winning in 2020. And that's another consideration for Democrats. Does he start looking
sympathetic?
But
the right thing for them to do to preserve the system is to impeach and to hold to account, even if the Senate refuses to hold a trial or holds one and convicts him. It is their job to impeach him, to say, on the record, this cannot stand. This is not, you know, this is a stain on the country, this kind of conduct, this out-of-bound lawlessness, this contempt for rules and for governance, the rule of law, everything. And you to do this to protect yourself, that is their job. And they, even if they lose power over it and lose the election, that's their job. I'm not advocating it, because politically it's a loser and the country's burnt out. But
I think what everybody's trying to say.
Literally between a rock and a hard place.
Right, and that's where. And I just want to say one thing. Lindsey Graham is Littlefinger. That's who he is from Game of Thrones. That is who he is.
Everybody's a Game of Thrones character today.
Yes, they all now
Everybody
are to
is.
Me. They, I see Little, and it didn't end well for Littlefinger. Spoiler alert! But that,
did not.
This is a moment where, you know, he's one of those guys that you're like, oh my God, what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. Where is the, you know, when people stand up for truth, justice, and the American way, I like it. I'm sorry. I know it goes back to, like, you know, being a kid and watching Superman reruns and crap like that, and even, you know, being stuck in home with your black and white television. But I believe in that stuff, and I believe in a president and in lawmakers who stand up, and if they lie publicly, they are held to account. And, you know, it's one thing. You know, it's been a long descent into this. This is, you know, Donald Trump didn't start this fire.
No. Yeah,
but. But, you know, they, you know, started with, oh, my God, it's, you know, the, you got a senator who's like a, you know, super conservative senator, and he's tapping his foot in a Minnesota airport trying to get a hand from a guy in the stall next door to him, right? You go, well, there's a family man who ends up, what is he doing? You know,
what is going on
kinda,
there?
Kind of works its way through, you know, from that kind of.
I'd like to go back to Larry Craig's scandal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
I mean, those were purer times. I just would like to go back.
Right. It was a nice moment when people were like, all right now, sir, what is that all about? Right?
Seems like nothing now.
And now it's not. And I got to say that this NRA thing does freak me out, man. I mean, it's like the president is trying to get in the way of an active investigation into an organization, and he's politicizing, he's weaponizing it to the point where he's trying to get the NRA supporters to go, hey, the deep state is trying to take your institution down. That is not what is happening. That institution is crumbling under its own internal toxicity. And as forget about their position on Second Amendment. That has nothing to do with this. This has to do with corporate intrigue inside the company that is, you know, gotten bad. And this is always what happens when people start to feel emboldened. It's like that idea that power corrupts absolutely. That when people start to feel emboldened, that's when they make mistakes. This is the moment where the president, it won't be the Mueller report, it'll be something in the aftermath of this that will take Donald Trump down.
This is what the people around him are worried about, because they're worried that he's so freed from, like, if he could do everything he did that's outlined in the 440 pages and then, you know, be in his eyes exonerated, that he will start dangling pardons to Stone and Flynn and this type of thing, and he'll get himself in trouble now, having nothing to do with what he's already done.
It's also possible nobody will do anything about it because people are afraid of him. They literally are afraid of him. They are afraid. Republicans are afraid of him politically. This is really a profound courage.
But I think
right
we now legitimately have to count Bill Barr like in the full. He has told us in so many words what he's doing, and his son-in-law works the White House Counsel's office, which should be an enormous conflict. I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but let me mention it again because it's a scandal. And what's going on here? I mean, he's afraid to let a House committee lawyer, question him on Thursday?
Yeah.
What does he have to hide? Like, what's going on here?
Well, that's...
He's refusing a bipartisan subpoena for someone who's supposed to come and answer questions about putting the citizenship question on the census.
Can I ask you a question? One of the objection that the Attorney General has to going up to Capitol Hill and answering questions from a congressional hearing is that he doesn't want staff to ask him questions. He wants the actual lawmakers to ask him questions. Why don't they agree to that? Why don't the lawmakers just go, we'll ask the staff questions?
And the thing is, I've talked to lawmakers many times on this topic, and they are always they jealously guard the right to question witnesses, and they don't want staff questions. Witnesses, because they think they're just as good as staff. But I can tell you, watching Bill Barr the last time, I saw a bunch of things that the members forgot to ask him about. So the idea that they are, and I think it's actually just, you know, everyone's better served if you don't have members of each party, you know, posturing with their 5-minute statements and on and on. So they want to have this committee staffer question him, and he doesn't want to agree to that. He only wants to be pressured by the members. And yeah, the members can be well informed by their staff, but it's not the same as someone who can go toe to toe with Barr on the legal, you know, interpretation of everything he's done, all the decisions he's made around the report. So it's just interesting. I just think that he's I think he's made it perfectly clear what he's doing.
Well, how will that one land, do you think? I mean, can't they subpoena him? You've heard Nadler say that.
Has decided that he's you know, not an expert on all these subpoenas, but I do know that Nadler said today that they're going to stick by staff questioning, staff counsel, and that the committee is going to take a vote on it, which they'll, you know, obviously he wouldn't have said it out loud unless they were ready to support it, or the Democrats anyway, and then that if Barr refuses, he would subpoena him. But I'm just surprised that Bill Barr is going along with the full-scale standoff that Trump is trying to pull.
Yeah.
I guess the answer is he's Trump's lawyer. He's everything that Trump wanted in Sessions or something.
Right. That's not good for America. The whole thing is, just the structure. If politics, policy, all the rest of it, if you want policy, then, but you got to do it the way that that's legal, because what's good for the goose will be good for the gander here. You're going to set precedent. And
exactly.
And there's going to have to be, and Republicans should be very, conservatives should be very concerned about a runaway executive branch. And they should have that. And I might also remind you that in the middle of all this, while we're watching this little trick over here,
mm-hmm.
the head of ISIS is still alive.
Right.
We missed him. We actually thought the Russians had him, but we just now have seen him for the first time today. The North Koreans launched a missile last week. The president at his rally in Wisconsin said, "Well, the North Koreans haven't done anything. You know, I got this whole thing fixed." And they launched a missile last week. It was like he thinks they're so stupid in Green Bay, and I happen to agree with him about that, but for different reasons.
Packer fans.
That they're so stupid up there that they'll believe it, that they have paid no attention to anything else that's going on. And
this is an interesting, this is another example after the story from last week that we discussed, you know, Kirstjen Nielsen's, or someone close to her, leaked something to the New York Times about how, you know, what you could and could not talk about in terms of election interference and that subject with the president. And it's really begs the question, right? John Bolton, before the last summit, the national security advisor, was left out of the loop. The North Korea stuff was just between Mike Pompeo and the president. Who is coming to the president and is it right now and is able to tell him, like, look, this is a disaster?
Yeah, nobody.
We're not, you know, there's no third summit. The guy is totally, you know, getting back in an aggressive posture. I mean, maybe they're not allowed to bring that subject up either.
Maybe he doesn't know.
Maybe
nobody told him they launched a missile. And Hannity didn't mention it either. All right. Thank you very much, A.B. Stoddard.
Thanks, A.B.
Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. There she is, A.B. Stoddard. You can hear her. You can read her on RealClearPolitics.com. All right. We're going to find out why Game of Thrones was so dark last night. Why did they shoot it like that? People are asking that question today. We will answer it for you. But first, let's find out from Kim what's coming up in a few minutes.
An Oscar-nominated filmmaker has died.
Traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Coming out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day. It's May 14th, and it's Tom Skilling. You'll see Skilling's presentation, followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available at whitesox.com/WGN.
And coming up in just a few minutes, I've got a family four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox take on the Indians on May 13th. Day before that, 7:10 p.m. Get tickets at whitesox.com or call 866-SOX-GAME. Tune in every Monday in the 4 o'clock hour. For another chance to win 4 tickets to White Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by Keeper. Kim Gordon has got the WGN News being brought to you by Team Hochberg.
Get down to the crypt.
I'm not abandoning my people.
Take this and go.
I don't know how to use it.
Sticking with the pointy end.
Without a spoiler, rope, I think you might have called that, the saying, I'm going to go down to the crypt and be safe. Doesn't always work out that way. It's like in a horror movie when you said, I'll be right back. You just, you know, that maybe not everyone's going to be right back in that group.
Sansa, don't go behind that door! Close the door, Latia! Oh, wait, what was it? What's the name of
who?
The one?
Are you making up new Game of Thrones
the
characters?
The one that was Sir John... What?
S. Lauren.
What? Help me out, Lauren.
Yeah, what are you... I don't even know where you're
the
going.
The young woman who...
Melisandre?
No, the young woman, like the little girl, but not Arya.
Oh, Lyanna.
Lyanna?
What? Is that her name? The one, you know, the one who was fairly critical in the whole battle.
Oh, the little queen?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, her.
What is her name?
Yeah, Lyanna something or another.
And,
yeah.
Well, Lyanna Stark is, you know... The aunt, the sister of Ned Stark, and that's what I think you're thinking.
Lyanna Mormont is who I'm thinking of.
Oh.
Jorah's niece.
Yes. Okay, yes.
Look at Lyanna, close the door! Close the door! That's what I would have said.
That's probably what you were saying as you were yelling at your screen last night.
That's exactly what I
just was trying to figure out who died and who lived at some point because I couldn't see everything. And the wolf, I still don't know. I don't know.
See, there was one dire wolf. Now, that's the other thing. And this is where Kevin is literally...
He's
going
to lose his mind.
He's going to start singing Shallow here before it's all said and done. I saw the dire wolf, and again, I'm confused now. I just got to say, in the Game of Thrones world, I'm confused by... I mean, I haven't seen the direwolves like since season one, have I?
When's the last time I saw one? Have they been around?
You have. I mean, Ghost was around when the huge thing happened to Jon Snow a few seasons ago.
You know what? A few seasons ago, we can spoiler alert. You mean when he was killed and then came back to life?
I don't want to be that guy.
That moment?
Damn it! Now I can't watch the show.
Oh, like you were going to.
Dang it! Thanks, Lauren.
From what I hear, it's just too much money to produce Ghost and the dragons. And that's what I hear is like the CG.
They just get like a big dog and put the dog out there. I mean,
They've got plenty of money.
They do seem to have plenty of money.
I mean, think of the obsession this has become. And the amount of people watching.
Yeah, but they build entire cities for sets. It's insane. It is insane how much money they spend.
Right. They said 55 days, full days of shooting just on this battle scene. Like, crazy.
Yeah. Well, the battle scene was... If I could see it, I would tell you it was amazing. But that's the problem that we're running into here, is that we have trouble actually seeing it. And now... Okay, so we're supposed to talk to the Vanity Fair writer, Joanna Robinson. We're having a little trouble reaching her, but I read her story, so I'll tell you what this is about.
Okay, because so a lot of people complained.
The director of photography was given this assignment, right? Okay, here's what the deal is. That it's going to be a night battle. And it has to be a night battle because this is part of the lore. It goes back to season one, the idea of the night battle. And we knew that this Melisandre chick was going to be in the middle of this thing one way or the other because she kind of foretold that. So it had to be at night. So the director of photography got together with the director of this particular episode and the producers. And they said, now, how are we going to do this? Because there's two different ways you can do an all-night battle and light it. And one is you do it in blue light. Like it's a... It's like a moonlit night, and it's blue, and everything is super lit. And then they do a trick in post production to make it appear as though everything else is dark around them, and you're only seeing the characters, right? As was done in like the Lord of the Rings. There was some battle scene in one of those movies, which I have not seen.
Which apparently the director of photography did see.
Yes,
he said he watched that prior to filming this.
And there was the idea that they were going to do it like that, and then it's super clear. But what they chose to do is because this is Songs of Ice and Fire, right? That's the whole idea of this.
Yeah, you got it right.
That is where, thank you. That is where, that's the source material for all of this. They decided to firelight it as opposed to moonlighting it. And actually, they couldn't moonlight it because that's part of the plot twist here, that it's a cloudy night. And there's a reason that the clouds interfere with the battle. Right. So the moonlight wouldn't really work. And they were being a little, you know, like overly precise, essentially, is what they were being.
Yeah. Right. So you sort of it was real. Right. And I guess at some points it was kind of cool to feel like that whole fog of war thing was happening, that you just didn't know what was going on and who was getting killed and who was where.
And they also didn't want you to. They want to keep you on the edge of your seat. So you're constantly rolling with this idea of feeling as though you are in the middle of the battle. And I will say
that worked.
That of all the visual things I have ever seen, I can say that I have never seen anything as big and bold a piece of filmmaking as that was last night.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Because
it was amazing.
They stuck with that ethic. It wasn't clear. And I'm going to tell you something. Since that thing goes on for 55 minutes, that's 5 minutes short of an hour. That's how long that battle scene is. Longest battle scene ever shot, ever shown, ever exhibited. One from beginning to end battle scene.
In cinematic history, TV and film.
Anytime, ever put on film and then presented on film.
Right.
Right. In a single take, if you will.
I will say the use of fire was super powerful in the beginning of the battle. And then we're not revealing too much when you feel like the extinguishing of the lights and how powerful that was to make you feel about how things were going.
But fire creates smoke.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're caught in the smoke. Right. That's part of the thing. And you're in the middle of it. Yeah, like I didn't know what was going on.
I didn't either. I didn't know which dragon was which. That was my biggest complaint because, you know, was important.
I never have any idea. But I didn't even realize that the dragons had names. I mean, I'm like, you know, one's Rohengi or something. What is it?
So what are they, Lauren? Do you know?
I believe it's pronounced Rogan. Like,
Rokan?
That's how it looks. It's like
Rokan the dragon.
Rokan. It's R-H-O-G. A.N., something like that. Is that the good one or the bad one?
I think they're named like or after
the,
her brother.
That's the skittish one, Rokan, the dragon. That's the one that's like, I don't know, it seems a little cold out. I don't think I can go to battle tonight. Jon Snow's awfully heavy on my shoulders.
Yeah,
can I just drop him?
I'm not really sure that that's working.
I would say...
It was incredible.
That it was amazing, but people are complaining about it, and I get it. But you know, there's art to this entire thing. That's another reason, you know. And I love, there's so many great television series especially in the last decade, right? Mm-hmm. In our lifetimes, the last two decades, the 21st century has been the golden age of televised series, right? Between whether we're looking for sitcoms, even on network television has been great, but because of HBO and other products like that, Netflix, all the rest, they create some of the greatest content of all times.
No question.
This is another cut above that.
Oh, it was. And there have been so many great battle scenes that defy all battle scenes within watching Game of Thrones over the years. But this one, oh my gosh. You just, Kevin, you gotta get into Game of Thrones if for no other reason to watch this episode.
Here are the
watch. You need to.
You only need about 80 hours, right?
Yes.
You need
commit
two
to it.
8 hour.
I have commitment
weeks.
Issues. You know that, Anna.
Yeah,
this feels
true.
Like a chore.
It's gonna
at
be
this
a problem.
Point.
For
yeah.
You. Yeah. There must be a Cliff Notes version that just brings you up.
Well,
to
yeah,
this
I get
point.
Them every day on social media
or
from you guys
listening to the show.
So many people have podcasts and YouTube channels.
I know.
You can get caught up.
By the way, dragon, I was thinking of Rhaegal. There's Drogon.
Classic mix-up.
And pretty sure that's the one that got changed. And then Viserys.
Look out, Drogon! I did a lot of screen talking last night. Look out, Gal, with an eye patch!
It was stressful.
Very I don't know
stressful.
Your name!
But it was wild, I'll say this, okay? Because last night, people are full-blown... just spoiling everything on social media.
It was really bad.
Like showing video of that scene that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just filming it, putting it on social media. It was everywhere.
I was on a plane, so I could not watch it in real time. And I made sure, I just had to shut myself off because you're right. It's become such a part of our culture that you could not be anywhere on a news site, on any social media site. You could be on your phone and not really know what had happened.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I walked outside my front door this morning, my mailman, did you see the ending to Game of Thrones? The garbage man, did you see the ending of Game of Thrones? I'm like, no, I don't watch it.
Loser!
And then the garbage man didn't even pick up my garbage, he threw it away real fast.
Kick your can
over. You're a loser! That house is a loser!
Look out, Brad! You're in a wheelchair, Brad! Look out! Oh, hell no! Nike's gonna kill you, Brad!
That's what I was doing the whole time.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was right. I was like, I had to stop it at one point because the battle scene was so long and so stressful that I had to just kind of take a deep breath, sort of like, okay.
It takes you into a place you can't, you just don't think that they're going to go. So that's the explanation that the Game of Thrones people have about this, at least the director of photography has. I think a simpler and more realistic expectation here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there was another that it's a little cheaper to shoot it that way. That
they're spending so much,
right?
Though,
yeah, I know, but that's the thing. They are, and that they don't have to rely as much on visual effects in post because the practical effect of the darkness is giving them some cover.
Uh-huh.
That would be my answer to that, but that's not what they're going with. All right, Thomas Jefferson's going to join us here in just a second. I know. Here's another guy who came back from the dead. Look out, Thomas Jefferson! That's going to happen. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has sent his resignation letter to President Trump.
Coming up, stories that matter from Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and WGN Radio. And right now, caller number 15 at 312-917-2200 rips us off for a four-pack, a family four-pack of tickets to see the Sox take on the Indians Monday, May 13th, 7:10 p.m. That's 2 weeks from tonight. Get tickets at whitesox.com or call 866-SOX-GAME. Tune in every Monday for your chance to win four tickets to the White Sox. Thomas Jefferson joins us. You know him as the former Secretary of State to the United States of America, and you also know that he's dead. But he will be, despite that, he is going to be at the Tivoli Theater coming up on the 18th of May, along with,
Williams.
John Williams, that's right.
Yep, he'll be there.
Right here from WGN Radio. Tickets are $33, and they're on sale right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 10 a.m. show.
So you definitely should. You should absolutely get on this right now because they're about to be sold out. Sponsored by Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park and Oak Brook. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain or jointrelief.com. All right. Thomas Jefferson, I have a couple questions for you before we go any further.
That sounds fine to me, my dear citizens. I should say that I was Secretary of State for one term during George Washington's presidency.
Mm-hmm. And then weren't you the ambassador to France, too? Do I have that right?
Yes, for 5 years, 1784 to 1789, I was the American minister to France, which is essentially the ambassador.
Right. I understand. And then you went on to do something else. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Wait a minute. Really important. I forgot.
I forgot what it was. Mm. Yeah, it might have been president or something like that. All right. Now, I want to just ask you this. As you look at what's going on, since you're alive right now, in this moment, you can comment on this. As you look at this that we're talking about now, truth, justice, and the American way. Was truth, justice, and the American way an ethic in the late 18th, early 19th century in America?
More so in my time than in yours, because we were all reading the classical works of Plutarch and Livy and Tacitus and Socrates and Plato. And so we wanted very much to create an idealistic republic, and we believe very strongly in all of that. So we were influenced by this hero worship of the ancient world, particularly ancient Athens and early Roman Republic, and that made us all sort of rise to a higher standard of character and integrity than we might otherwise have had.
Hmm. What's your dental situation? Did you have the wooden teeth? How are your teeth?
How do you handle that?
Yeah.
I was a very fastidious man and a fortunate one. I kept my teeth to the end of my life. I actually took care of my, what you would call oral hygiene. I had the equivalence of a toothbrush, and I even had a small flossing device.
Oh, well, Jefferson. Yeah. How do you feel about how you're portrayed in Hamilton? Because you're kind of it's not necessarily the best portrayal. You're kind of a hypocrite, and you come back after the American Revolution. What did I miss? Mm-hmm. What you guys been up to?
Well, you can say what you want about me. I was a slaveholder, and there are some inconsistencies and paradoxes in my life.
You like the ladies? I know that about you. You certainly like the ladies. Yep.
That's something of an exaggeration, but I'll take your point. But just looking at Hamilton for a moment, you know, he believed in the 1%. He perhaps believed in one half of 1%. He thought that the rich and the well-born should lord it over the mass of Americans. He wanted a nation with a strong centralized government and a strong military, and he sought world empire through military means. So if the American people in your time want to revere that, then I shake my head.
Yeah, well, I think they do, actually. So that's how that worked out. All right, don't miss Thomas Jefferson and more of this. And you can ask him questions about the ladies. I'm going to tell you right now. I've run out of time to ask you questions about the ladies. But I'm just going to say that, there were a few. There were a few.
You answer everything.
I saw those
movies. Fun part
of the
show.
Yeah. It was very, very good. And that's, I don't know about the hygiene situation there either. I honestly don't know.
Come on.
All right. May 18th, Classic Cinemas, Tivoli Theater. Go to WGNradio.com/Jefferson for tickets to this. Go see it. I've heard this on the radio. I've never seen this done live, but it is amazing. It is amazing. And thank you very much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Thomas.
Yes, I hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. There we go. Mm-hmm. I got everything in I needed. It's all brought to you by Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park in Oak Brook. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain or jointreliefinstitute.com.
Okay.
Got it in. Let's do this. I got to get to the news with Kim Gordon for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and we'll do that in 2 minutes. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Can we make a promise for Kevin's sake never to talk about Game of Thrones again?
No, we cannot.
The rest of this broadcast.
You know, I was thinking about pitching to the radio station. I forgot to mention to our boss today in passing in the hallway. It's the only time I allow my security allows me to
interact
with the bosses here. Mm-hmm. The Sunday night, what's that going to be? 3 weeks from last night. So the 19th or something like that?
Sounds right.
Of whatever. What was it? Anybody want it? 19th? All right. The 19th of May.
19th, yeah.
All right. So at 10 o'clock, shouldn't there be like a 1 hour?
Oh, my God.
Special that is hosted by GotGeeks.
Lauren?
Yes.
Lauren would lead it. Lauren would lead it.
Lauren, Brian Altimer, who is one of our geekologists, Mr. Richard Roper. I think Jeff Carlin, our producer,
sure,
might want to be in on that. I'll just stop by to watch this thing happen.
It's just so Lauren can call out your inaccuracies.
That's not a White Walker.
That's a white. There's a difference between a white and a White Walker.
Kevin, you want to go to a Sox game with me when this is going on?
No, you know what we'll do, Kim? We'll go to a bar and celebrate that the show is over.
That
we can finally
good.
Move on.
Right,
we'll pop champagne at 10 o'clock when the show finally wraps. What are you three going to do? Go into a complete depression?
I'm going to make sure that I take it away.
No, trust me.
Drink
I went through this last fall, Lauren, when the double doink happened. I went into a deep, dark depression.
True,
is this what's going to happen to you guys the day after?
It might.
No, yeah. They could just watch reruns.
That's true.
That's true.
You start all over again.
Depending on how it ends. Like, what would be? Well, I guess you guys can't even say. I don't know.
Well, you can predict.
What would be catastrophic? What would be the equivalent of the double doink for Game of Thrones nerds?
All the great main characters dying.
If Cersei wins everything.
Yeah.
Cersei's bad.
Yeah, she's bad.
But she's good bad.
Oh, she's hot.
But you like watching her.
Wow.
Babe alert.
Yeah. And that puts all of the stepsister videos you've ever seen on Pornhub to shame. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh,
it's
man.
Not even a stepsister. That's the crazy part about it. Oh, my God.
Oh, she's the one in this. Because I've seen two episodes, the first two.
Yeah.
Is she the one getting out with her brother?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she is. She's
that's her.
Yeah.
But she
there
is
you go.
Ruthless.
Yeah.
Classic
yeah. Just like all the stepsisters are in the videos on Pornhub.
That's so true. How does he know that?
Thanks, Ted Cruz. Is that the point of reference for to make sure Kevin can understand Game of Thrones?
Yep.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Oh boy, this is a rough outing. Boeing had to have its annual shareholders meeting today.
Yikes!
Oh my gosh!
So the people who have shares get to be there and ask questions.
Yeah, and they wanted to ask the CEO Dennis Muilenburg a few questions about what's going on there. They had to have a moment of this is never good.
Mm.
This is never good at a board meeting to have a moment of silence for 346 people you killed.
Oh, jeez.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a bad way to start.
No. Muilenburg was asked whether the company acknowledges responsibility.
We know that in both accidents, there was a chain of events that occurred. One of the links in that chain was the activation of the MCAS system because of erroneous angle of attack data. That was a common link in both accidents. We know that we can break that link in the chain. That is a link that we own. It's our responsibility to eliminate that risk, and the software update does exactly that.
You could tell he had his media training because he was also asked, have you considered resigning? And his answer was, well, we're very focused on safety. I can tell you that we're looking at these accidents as a company.
Right.
And,
don't always answer the question you wish you were asked.
Wished you were asked.
Yeah.
And he did well.
Yeah.
Not an easy thing to be doing.
I don't know how well that's all going.
Well, what
I don't know.
You know
I'm a big fan of the Boeing company. Big, big fan.
Sure.
Always have been. Always will be. I'm like so many American aviation geeks and pilots and people will say, if it's not Boeing, it's not going. I get it. I understand it. But this is a ginormous misstep by one of the world's greatest corporations ever. And a company that was really, really always been pretty well run. But the reality is that it has become so cutthroat in this between Boeing and Airbus. And this is, and everybody's trying to get to the most efficient thing as fast as they possibly can. And they actually just, you know, we talk about deregulation and about how that's good for business. But the one concern is it good for safety? And Boeing was literally allowed to test itself. It wasn't being tested by an outside independent source on this. It was testing itself. And that's something that we have to look at.
Sure. Other thing to look at is how cozy was the relationship with the FAA? Was that not...
right.
Should that be take another look at that.
Exactly.
In situations like this.
Checking in at...
Number four.
President, in a twist of development, is giving embattled Empire actor Jesse Smollett credit.
Really?
For a new campaign slogan. He was in Green Bay over the weekend talking to Packers fans. And that should tell you everything you need to know about the crowd.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'd rather hang out with a bunch of Game of Throners than Packer fans.
Oh, ouch.
And he said that, you know, the phrase, this is MAGA country, was a negative. Well, shouldn't it be a positive?
We may have the greatest theme in the history of politics. It's called Make America Great Again. It's called MAGA country. You know, I didn't hear that term until that third-rate actor in Chicago went out and he said, I was beaten up by MAGA country. Can you believe it? Now, that's a hate crime, right? He said he was beaten up by MAGA country. Turned out to be a total lie. But think of it. MAGA. Make America great again. And by the way, I have to tell you, that case in Chicago is a disgrace to our nation.
Now, you're going to get the Green Bay fans to say that.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, can we just bring up the fact that he stole that phrase from Reagan? Do people just forget this? Reagan used Make America Great Again.
Yes, right. He didn't have a hat, though. That's the only thing.
See, he knows how to brand stuff.
Marketing,
really
very
good,
different.
Yeah, great right. branding.
Yeah.
But I like how he and Kim Fox actually agree on something. The third-rate actor part. It's like, didn't she call him a washed-up?
Third-rate actor, yeah.
In the text, it's like, I'm going to make it seem like I don't like right. this guy. Here's what
washed
I'm going to call him.
Actor.
What?
Star of hit show.
I guess everything just chills me about Donald Trump. He's the Night King, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something just weird about that. You know, let's own that ourselves. Let's own MAGA country. Does that mean that we got to go beat up Jesse Smollett? Although, again, Jesse Smollett wasn't beaten up in the first place. Separate issue!
Totally separate. Big problem.
Don't get me started!
Nope. We won't bring it up.
I don't know what's, you know, he's going to turn that into a positive. All right. But, you know, Trump understands hating things. That's the thing. He is the master of hate. He gets it. He understands how people get agitated by other things or other people. And he just knew in Green Bay, he wanted to bring up a Chicago situation.
Can't go wrong.
Because he knows he's not going to win Illinois, because he's not going to win Cook County. And that's all that counts is if you, I mean, remember, you know, every other county in this state went for Trump, except for Cook County. And he still lost Illinois. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that goes. Maybe, what is that, where East St. Louis is, may not have gone. But
right.
But generally, all the, it, you know, it's like 99-1 is the way that always goes. So I just see this as a, I don't know.
Well, Chicago is a great disgrace to our nation, is what he said. But I don't think Chicago owns the Jesse Smollett story. Jesse Smollett owns what happened there.
Right.
It's not, this disgrace is on Jesse.
Right.
Exactly. She's trying to turn around and... You know,
well, also on Kim Fox. Yeah. She disgraced herself, and she disgraced the office of the Cook County State Attorney's Office, too. But that's, you know, and many have tried to do that before. You know, she's not the first. Cook County Justice. That's why Dick Wolf isn't doing one of those shows. It's just called Cook County Justice. Forget about Chicago Law or Chicago. Cook County Justice. There's a show I'd like to do. All right, we'll get to your 3-2-1. But first, here is Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Mayor-elect Lightfoot planning for potential summer violence.
Come on out to WGN-TV's White Sox Weather Day. It's May 14th. It's with Tom Skilling. See Skilling's presentation followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available, whitesox.com/WGN.
Top 5-5 continues. We're up to...
Number 3.
Ride me back home to a much better place. Blue skies and sunshine and plenty of space. Somewhere
wow. where they Willie Nelson has a new album, Ride Me Back Home. It's coming out in June. It's going to feature a mix of originals and covers and renditions of Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are. In an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, he was asked if he remembers the first time that he smoked pot.
I've been smoking something ever since I can remember. I grew up smoking cedar bark, grapevines. That's where I learned to roll pretty good. So it's kind of been that way ever since.
Says he's pretty much high just about all day, every day.
What? Wait, hold on a second. By the way, this is his birthday. He's 86.
86.
Works for him.
Totally working, whatever Willie's doing.
What is cedar? I don't understand the cedar bark thing.
I think he's just saying he smoked everything he could find.
Yeah, but can you smoke cedar bark?
Sure.
And live to tell about it?
I guess so.
His wife makes him weed chocolates. She said she had to work
is
on
his
it.
Wife like 30? That's what
no,
I'd like
they've been
to know.
Together for 33 years, so I don't know what that puts her at, but
okay.
Probably not 30.
Probably not 30.
All right.
See, Lauren's good at math.
Yeah, see, that was good. See, she's again.
Then she'd be three.
She's our science and technology editor on the program.
Oh gosh, no. Those are my weaknesses.
This is really something. That he's 86 years old, mm-hmm. and he was smoking a tree before he started smoking everything. I mean, he just had to light something on fire and ingest the smoke. That's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
How bizarre.
Yeah, I mean.
Guy loves getting high.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a weed company now, too, his cannabis company. So.
Yes. Well, he's got, you know, that's a good brand. If you're going to do a brand.
Yeah,
you know,
he's right on brand.
Snoop. I'd get Snoop, forget about Marlboro Man. You just put Snoop and you put Willie Nelson out there mm-hmm. and you can sell some bow.
Number two.
Agreeing to publicly document his post-NFL stay-at-home dad lifestyle for reality television was huge for Jay Cutler, especially considering his tendency to avoid the public eye and winning of games. I added that myself.
Yeah, I thought you did.
That's why it came as a huge surprise when he agreed to be doubly recorded. He taped an episode of Kelly Henderson's Velvet Edge podcast on last night's episode of Very Cavallari.
Okay, what career would you have done if football wouldn't have been an option?
Like, there was never another option.
So you just had to make it work.
Like, I didn't take college very seriously, so, like, I was all in.
This football thing. Thank God you have a good arm.
Yeah.
What made you want to go back, like, when Miami called?
You know, I wanted to be in a different situation. We had a few teams call, like, right as soon as I was let go by Chicago. But, like, just jumping from one ship to the next ship, like, didn't really interest me. I kind of wanted to process some of it. But, you know, all I really cared about was playing football and trying to win football games.
Mm-hmm. And the $10 million the Dolphins paid you. Also, happy birthday to Jake Cutler, 36 today.
We'll play more of that.
He's starting to talk like the rest of the girls.
He is.
Also, who the hell's Kelly Henderson?
Is she one of the people who works at her Uncommon James?
Oh. She does work for them, and she's got her own podcast, because everybody has their own podcast.
It's true.
Does your puppy have a podcast yet? Because you can get that done. We could put together a Blossom podcast for your dog.
You know, she'd have a good podcast. She's got several different levels of barking. You know,
yeah,
you can tell if
barking.
She's a happy bark or if it's a squirrel bark or, you know, there's that kind of thing going on. You can play it for your dogs.
I have to go out.
Yeah,
sound.
I have to, let's get going. Let's eat bark. That one. I know that one.
Okay.
And there's a give me some attention kind of like that. There's a little of that. It's not really a bark, but it's a growl or a sound. But, so you get to learn these things.
I think we should just do that because the podcast is ubiquitous. I'm all for it because it just means there's, you know.
Well, there's got to be a dog food company that would sponsor that. I think we're onto something. let's get on that.
Podcast for dogs. We're ready to talk dog TV. You know what? Why am I giving this stuff away for free?
Yeah. These are big ideas.
I know.
Well, I'm big ideas.
I'm a big think kind of guy.
Number one.
John Singleton, the Oscar-nominated director and screenwriter behind films like Boys in the Hood and Poetic Justice, has died. He's taken off life support by his family following a stroke earlier this month. Singleton was nominated for two Oscars for 1991's Boys in the Hood, becoming the youngest Best Director nominee and first black person nominated for the same award.
Who is it that's dying out here on these streets every night? Y'all. Young brothers like yourselves.
What am I supposed to do? Fool roll up, try to smoke me. I'm gonna shoot the motherfucker.
If you don't kill me first, you're doing exactly what they want you to do. You have to think, young brother, about your future.
Singleton's recent projects include creating and executive producing the FX Network's Snowfall, as well as directing the fifth episode of The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
They play the race card.
I would never. I hold myself to the highest ethical standards. I would never reduce myself to such cheap tricks.
Bob, calm
down. No, Lee, I'm very upset. These claims should be sanctioned. How dare they say that we play the race card? I stand before you right now and say race has never and will never be an issue in this case. Never.
John Singleton was 51.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Yeah, it's a Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN Chicago.
Yep.
Seems like every Monday this happens to us. We get caught in the Jay Cutler vortex, but we just can't help ourselves.
Even though we were watching Game of Thrones, except for Kevin and Kim, we somehow still get to figure out what's going on with Jay Cutler after a Sunday.
Something really weird happened on the Very Cavallari show.
Mm-hmm.
Something very, very weird. He sat down with a podcast for a podcast. Now, I'm assuming because it's on TV, that people listen to this lady's podcast who works for the...
Uncommon James.
Yes, Uncommon James.
Kristen's company.
Yes, whatever the hell that is.
I think this was sort of the start of her podcast.
And she was recording it on a laptop, so, you know, it's good.
As most podcasts are.
Right.
High quality.
Very poorly done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Ouch.
It's true. Trust me.
There's some better shows than others. I'm going to put us at the bottom tier here. But
well, they're just the sheer volume of podcasts out there just speaks to there are a lot of people doing it that haven't perfected the art yet. Let's say that.
Well, I think that.
But then there are surprisingly a number of really, really good
ones. Oh,
there's
some great ones out there.
It's kind of like watching, on-demand television now. It's just like there's so much out there.
Right.
It's really
but
awesome.
We suggest you listen to us every afternoon from 3 to 7.
This is
live, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go back and make it better.
No.
We can't stop and edit it. And I think that this lady, what's her name again?
Kelly.
Kelly Henderson. Kelly Henderson. I think Kelly Henderson's also thinking the same sort of thing. Let's listen in, shall we?
So I kind of want to know, more about what does a day in the life of Jay Cutler look like now?
God, you sound like Kristen. I think I've probably been working out a little bit more now.
Okay, I like this. Working on the bod.
Playing basketball a couple times, 3 times a week.
Okay.
6 in the morning with a good group of guys.
That's aggressive, 6 in the morning.
Is she hitting on him?
It sounds very,
I think that's just
friendly.
How you sound. Like, when he said you sound like Kristen, I'm like, is he saying that's something Kristen would say, or they actually sound identical to each other?
I think.
Oh, my God.
Then Lauren just threw up in her trash can.
I know, I was going to say.
Do you see my hair right now?
Lauren's losing it over there.
It's that voice thing.
That podcast will go nowhere. How can people stand that voice? I don't get it.
All right.
What are you talking about, Lauren?
It's kind of the Midwestern version of the Valley Girl. Right?
That's horrifying.
Where are you going? What are you doing?
All right, so if you're not sure that she's hitting on him, how about this?
But what's your favorite sexual position?
I think we experiment with many different ones.
Okay, so a variety.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, after so long, you have to mix
Can
it up a little
bit. Can
we
keep this PG?
Don't even start
don't
with
even
me.
Act like
Are you kidding me?
My ears. I can't.
All of a sudden, she's St. Teresa now.
She's so modest. I'm so sure. Yeah.
Cuddy and Cavallari, open-minded in the bedroom.
My God.
Confirmed.
Oh, my God. There are not big enough goblets of red wine in reality television to be able to cover whatever this crap is. There just isn't.
I would hate to be a crew member for that TV show, holding a boom mic, just no.
hitting them with
purgatory.
The boom mic.
Kind of how I feel, Lauren, when I hear people talk about Game of Thrones.
Hey!
Oh, my God.
That's a very important piece of art! This is not!
It's part of our culture, Kevin.
It is? Wizards and dragons?
Yes.
And then
you have to, but let's get back to this. You stop and you think, see, she asked that question, and then all of a sudden that's on my mind snap shut, because now I'm doing is imagining the two of them in, you know, various different compromising positions.
She got more answers out of Jay Cutler than I think any Bears reporter did in the history of him being here. I mean, like, he never answered questions.
What do you think his completion percentage is with her? Just asking.
He does seem to have a little bit of a wandering eye in a lot of these episodes. I don't know if that's just the way they portray him or not, but he seems to be highly disinterested in his wife and highly interested in every other female on the show.
But he seems so lazy to even try different positions. That's surprising to hear from Cuddy.
My favorite.
Like, really? That sounds uncomfortable, Kristen.
Yeah, what's my favorite position?
Too apathetic.
I don't care.
I'm not normally awake for it, so it doesn't matter.
More work, same result. Don't care.
Maybe we found something he cares about, then. We finally did.
I don't think we have.
This is a big moment.
No, I don't think we have.
No?
No. Wait, I want to do that one more time. I want to see if there's really interest in this.
But what's your favorite sexual position?
I think we experiment with many different ones.
Okay, so a variety.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, after so long, like, you have to mix it up a little bit.
We keep this PG.
Don't even start with me.
Like,
are you
kidding me? It's my ears. I can't.
All of a sudden, like, she's St. Teresa now. Like,
she's so modest. I'm so sure. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. If Jay, I'm just going to tell you this right now. If Jay tries to get back in the NFL, he will get killed in the NFL. There'll be players that just want to take him out just because of this show.
I know. I want to get more former teammate reactions to this stuff.
Wouldn't that be cool? How come they're not speaking out? Are they?
I don't see much of them speaking out about it. I don't know.
Do they know it exists?
I think a lot of them just, they're like, that's Jay. That's all they're really going to say.
One of the best quotes from this episode, they asked, what would be your retirement, your perfect retirement? And he's like, what can I do that's not really taxing, not 100% involved, but, like, you know, it can fill a little time.
He's just waiting to die.
He's
experimenting with a variety of sexual positions and waiting to die. This is what I have learned. Oh, and feeding chickens. Three things going on there.
Not the worst life. They were asked about the whole. Remember, because he was going to go to the broadcast booth, and I was like, I cannot wait for this to hear Cutler in the broadcast booth. And then he was like, I don't know, 4 days on the road for 16 weeks just really didn't fire me up.
16 weeks,
4 days a week.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
All right, let's go back to where this all started for us.
Okay, what career would you have done if football wouldn't have been an option?
Like, there was never another option.
So you just had to make it work.
Like, I didn't take college very seriously, so, like, I was all in.
This football thing. Thank God you have a good arm.
Yeah.
What made you want to go back, like, when Miami called?
You know, I wanted to be in a different situation. We had a few teams call, like, right as soon as I was let go by Chicago. But, like, just jumping from one ship to the next ship, like, didn't really interest me. I kind of wanted to process some of it, but, you know, all I really cared about was playing football and trying to win football games.
Whoa.
Very critical.
That may be the most telling thing that has ever been said on reality television. All I really cared about was trying to win football games. Whether I did or not is irrelevant.
Yeah, whatever.
And that was clear to us.
Yeah.
Totally.
Actually, better yet, he just tried to win. He didn't really try to win playoff games either, did he? Mm-hmm. Playoffs?
I wouldn't say that. He did.
All right. Well,
you try hard enough. That's for damn sure.
All right. And then, finally, this is not a part of the podcast, but this is an interesting exchange.
I went to my first strip club here in Cabo.
How was it?
I mean,
how many strip clubs have you been to in your life?
A handful. Why, how many have you been to?
Handful.
I bet you have.
There she is.
Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Aw, that's where you gave me this ring.
Sure did. Sure did.
Such a classic response to the strip club question.
How many strip clubs?
Oh, I don't know. A couple, a few, a dozen. Very vague with that response.
I'll say whatever you say.
Cuddy just living in the strip club.
I don't think he's, you know, he's just the kind of guy that would be watching TV in the strip club.
The strippers, yeah. Getting a dance and he's kind of looking in the back, but don't care.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Smoking J look.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have another beer. I'm not paying for this. So this is your own exercise.
Did he propose to her in a strip club? Is that what I just got from that?
Is that what he's saying?
Oh, in Cabo. Okay, they're in Cabo San Lucas when this is happening. Okay, all right, got it. Okay. All right.
Do you get the sense he's a willing participant in this show, or he just sort of...
Yes.
Yeah? Does he like it? Or is Kristen, it's just part of Kristen's thing, and he's just going along because it's her thing?
I think he does like it. I think to him, it's like kind of a joke, the whole thing.
Right.
He's getting a kick out of it by acting like this complete dummy.
Well, acting like how he knows he's perceived to be, and he's just... That's just sort of...
Amping up even more.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he's acting?
No, I think he's just kind of trolling. I don't even know if trolling's the right word, but I think he knows what he's doing.
I kind of feel like he likes doing it to annoy her.
And everyone else.
Right.
And Kevin. Most importantly, Kevin. I'm
very annoyed, Kevin.
I don't know. Lauren is like punching things, listening to them talk in there. Kind of worried about the traffic booth right now.
I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it's like nails on a chalkboard. And I just want to bite my own fingers off to stop it.
See, I get more a kick out of it. I don't get as fired. I get more fired up at the Game of Thrones talk. Lauren is like breaking things in there listening to this.
That was some imagery I'm not going to get out of my head now.
There's no way. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know what I want for Jay. And is the show doing well? I'm assuming it is. And we talked about it.
Well, it went up against Game of Thrones yesterday. So how could that have done well?
No one watched.
Only Kevin was watching.
Well, people watch these things not in real time.
That's
anyway.
True. Yeah. But you get... Okay.
If you're going to do anything, you're going to binge, you know, this... I mean, I don't know how much very cavalry anybody can take. Without
not very cavalry much.
Not without biting their fingers off. That would be a problem. All right. I want everybody to...
I'm happy for Jay. A lot of people out there that would love that life.
You know, the thing is that people will forget about whatever happens here after, you know, this season or next season or whatever. He's going to fade into oblivion. Right? He's going to be one of those quarterbacks. It's not like he's a Super Bowl guy. It's not like Joe Namath. Right? Did you see that Peyton Manning has a show now? He's going to go out for the 100th anniversary of the NFL. He's going out and he's doing a... sort of an on-the-road show where he's going and visiting other, like, you know, football greats and talking about what their careers were like and what their life is like now and those kinds of things.
That could be cool.
Jay will not be a part of that. Like, he goes and he plays pool with Joe Namath, and he goes and he's going to go hang out with Barry Sanders and other, you know, people who are Hall of Famers. And that
Cutler is the opposite sort of quarterback to Peyton Manning, who was detail-oriented, who watched hours and hours of film, put a lot of pride in his work. You don't really get that sense from Cutty. Like, Peyton Manning retired, and he's been nonstop working. He's everywhere. He's in 4,000 commercials.
He is. You see him everywhere.
Now he's doing this. He's been doing some ESPN Plus stuff.
Right, and that's. I think it's going to live on ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
I think
which is great. He's been doing a thing called Detail, which if you're a real big-time football junkie, he just breaks down plays. It's like Peyton Manning watching film with his teammates breaking down plays. But this one will be a little more personality-driven.
He's my favorite quarterback of that era. You know, I know that some people like this other guy. I forget his name, but there are others. But he, even though he beat the Bears in a Super Bowl, he is, I've never watched a more electric quarterback play football live than Peyton Manning. See him make passes that you thought just were not possible. I kind of think that Patrick Mahomes may be that kind of guy. You know, we're going to see that out of him. Jay Trubisky is going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. We're going to be fine, people. Don't no. Nobody.
We hope we see that.
Mitch Trubisky.
Nobody.
Just call him, was that a shot at Trubisky? Did you call him Jay Trubisky?
Call him Jay Trubisky.
No.
Oh boy.
I didn't mean it.
I didn't mean it.
Take that back, Rolf.
I take it back.
You just put a curse on him.
Mitch Trubisky is. No. I don't see that. Is that going to? But Peyton Manning was great, and he's got a great personality.
All right.
Yeah, he totally does.
Yeah, unlike his reluctant brother. I don't know what the hell ever happened to him. By the way, congratulations, New York Giants. Great draft.
Great. Everything went well for New York.
I just
the New York
say,
football Giants over the weekend.
I really hope that our New York football Giants fan, who is working in the building right now, is one of our bosses, is listening right now, as I say, that they had six something? They got, out of six choices, they had three in the first round.
Yeah, I think they had two, ended up having two in the first round.
Yeah.
And one of them was a guy named Daniel Jones from Duke.
Right.
The sixth overall pick.
And then in a tragic twist, one of their other picks was shot over the weekend in a gang bar, like, wacky thing.
Mm-hmm.
How sad is that?
Yeah. It's not an NFL draft weekend unless one of the players has a legal incident.
Not a great weekend for the Giants.
I give away some Sox tickets now.
Just saying.
Sox had a good weekend.
They're going to have an even better week if they ever get to play. They're going to play tonight. We're not quite sure about tomorrow now. But Thursday is going to be unbelievable. You know why?
I know why.
Because Kevin and Lauren are going to make that game
great again.
Very special. Great again. MTGAGA. Mint Gaga is what it's going to be. Make that game great again.
I mean, how could it not be a great day?
Hold on. I'm getting the plug. Okay. Right now, caller number 15 at 312-981-7200 wins a pair of tickets, snags a pair of tickets. See what goes on there? Because Adam Engels. Number. See the Sox take on the Red Sox Thursday, 7:10 start. Now, if you are in the neighborhood and you want to stop by Cork and Carey at the park, 33rd and Princeton, stop by there. Kevin and Lauren are going to be doing their show, our show. They're part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
From Cork and Carey, and they've got tickets to give away while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
See what you can do there? It's all brought to us by our very dear friends, CH Vodka, Chicago's hometown vodka.
Gonna be fun.
All right. Let us now check in with Kim, Packers fan.
The teen accused of shooting and killing a woman on Saturday at a California synagogue has officially been charged.
DeVlantes.
Yes, you say that like Bill Curtis in the promo.
Anna DeVlantes.
Rokon and Anna DeVlantes. Like he needed a pronouncer, even though
I like
he doesn't.
I like the way John Cass says it. Anna DeVlantes.
No, Anna DeVlantes. Hi, John Cass. Christos Onesti. Greek Easter, as you know.
What'd you do for Greek Easter?
No, I was on a plane because my plane was delayed 6 hours, so...
You're not doing
my mom wasn't happy about
you're doing
that.
A really good thing. But
I was a friend of mine was graduating. He was retiring from the Air Force after 20 some years. He was 100% combat disabled veteran who went back, and he was a trainer at the academy and just is an inspiration to so many people. His name is DT Israel Del Toro. Master Staff Sergeant, and he was from Aurora, and his family's in New Lenox as well, but he's been in Colorado Springs and working at the Academy for, just about 10 years now.
And an athlete in the Invictus Games. And
got to know Prince Harry and was a star athlete in a lot of the Warrior Games. Really just an incredible human being, touched a lot of people's lives and inspired a lot of people. So they had a big celebration for him and his wife, Carmen, and then we went to a mariachi band party in a warehouse out in Colorado Springs with a bunch of military guys. That was very fun.
The military warehouse party. I've been to a few of those.
I didn't really know where I was going, and I was pulling up on a gravel road.
Oh, it's even better.
The middle of nowhere, and just kind of off the grid, and I thought, where are we going? What is happening here?
Nothing but kegs and pop. And ice, got big buckets of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of red Solo cups.
And exactly right.
Yeah.
You got the scene perfectly.
Yeah.
And then there was a mariachi band, so that you added that to the whole thing.
There is nothing in the to me, doing that in the desert is my favorite thing. Is you're out there in some just like farm shed kind of a thing with those guys, and they're all telling stories, and they're at their very best.
But he's an incredible story. I mean, an IED hit him. Almost 20 years ago, and it was in a coma, was not supposed to come back, was not supposed to live, and he's battled back and done some amazing things just in his career and his life, and he's become a motivational speaker as well. And
amazing man.
He is. Look his story up.
All right. Let us now check in with Adam Hoge, also an amazing man, not quite as brave and great a story. No one really has the story DT has.
It's hard to.
Hard to keep up. But we're going to let you talk to us anyway. You had to brave the draft. You had to brave the New York Giants draft. You had to just sit there and just watch television to watch the New York Giants destroy themselves and watch Giants Nation. I know not related to us in any way, but it warmed the cockles of my heart because, quite honestly, the Bears, other than their greatest rival in kind of sort of in the history of the franchise outside of Green Bay and Detroit, is the New York Giants. And so to watch them kind of shoot themselves in the groin multiple times, not even in the foot, in the groin, multiple times. It was just, it was a lot of fun to watch. Anyway, yeah. Separate issue.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, he, Dave Gettleman, the Giants general manager, is getting the Ryan Pace treatment that Pace got when he traded up for Mitch Trubisky a couple years ago. Now, the difference is at least in my opinion, I thought Mitch Trubisky was a first-round quarterback. I think the guy that the Giants just traded up for, Daniel Jones out of Duke, was a second round at best.
Maybe.
Ryan Pace didn't trade away the entire team before the draft and basically, you know, destroy the whole franchise before the draft started. So that has a lot to do with this, too.
Yeah. People are like, I've never seen that. That was the most entertaining moment of the draft, because I've never seen an entire fan base look at each other after a draft and go, in the first round, and go, who the fuck?
Well, remember the looks on people, Bears fans' faces when they drafted Trubisky. That was pretty remarkable. Everyone thought that was a dumb move, and it turned out to be a good move.
Well, that's the Trubisky thing. Was being talked about, though. People talked about Trubisky probably being the second or third quarterback chosen. No one was talking about this guy. But that's the Giants. Let's talk about what the Bears did.
Sure.
That's all right. So the running back that they ended up getting, and they moved around a little bit to go lower to get him, 5'10", 225 or something like that. He's Peyton-esque in terms of his size, right? I mean, Peyton may not have been as brisk as 222, but he was... He still, you know, it's that kind of a back. And you look at the tape on the guy, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, here's what David Montgomery is. He's Jordan Howard, but he can catch, and he's a little bit more elusive in traffic, whereas Jordan Howard would just try to run guys over, and most of the times he would end up falling down, sometimes even being tripped up. David Montgomery's known for two things, and I compare him to Jordan Howard because neither one has explosive runaway speed. Okay, when this guy takes the field for the Bears against the Packers in Week 1, he's not going to, you know, bust off an 80-yard run, most likely. But what he can do is create... he can elude tacklers in space in between the tackles, and he can catch the ball, which is what Matt Nagy's been looking for, guys. He wants somebody that can run routes, stretch opposing defenses, and catch the ball. So that's what they got here in David Montgomery, who I think is a very low floor, but is going to be an impactful player for the Bears right away.
I almost see a little Marshawn Lynch in him. He hates to get tackled. Yeah, he doesn't have that major burst speed, but... I love the pick, Adam. You know, watching tape on him, and he, you know, Matt Nagy was, you know, said nothing but great things about him. I think it also gives Matt Nagy a lot more options now with what he can call on offense, because between Mike Davis and Montgomery, they can be more of your traditional running backs, and then Tariq Cohen, that you can do a lot of different things on with him on the offense side of the ball now.
Yeah, the simplest way to explain the problems in the running game last year was just when Jordan Howard was out there, he wasn't a threat to run routes, and so that just makes everything easier to defend. They're like, okay, Jordan Howard's in the game. We know we can load up the box and stop him. Now when Montgomery's out there, if you put him out there on the field with Tariq Cohen at the same time, you got two guys out there, and sometimes Taylor Gabriel can run, you know, get the handoff too. You have multiple guys on the field that can either run the ball or run a route, stretch the defense, and catch it.
You got five. And that just you have five vertical threats is what you have at that moment, and that's hard to defend.
Yeah, and then you add in Riley Ridley, who is the Bears' fourth-round pick, who I thought should have gone a lot earlier. Again, similar to Montgomery, he's not the fastest guy on the field, but this guy, you know, as opposed to Kevin White, who is the height, weight, speed dude that just blew up the combine and had all this athleticism, Ridley knows how to run routes, which Kevin White could never do. This kid's going to come out right away and be able to run reliable routes for Mitch Trubisky, especially on third down. So I think Matt Nagy's offense took a big step forward, even though the Bears did not have a first or second round pick.
Do you think Ridley is a possession receiver?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I want to give him a little bit more credit than that because he's got a long wingspan and will pluck the ball out of the air, similar to how Alshon Jeffery used to.
Yeah, did you see? There's some stuff on his tape. That's why the draft is so great as a television show, because you get to see the best of reel of all of these players.
They always look fantastic.
And oh my god! And you're like, oh my god!
Look at what he did!
Look at what we have!
Look, isn't that cool? It gets you excited.
Remember, you saw Tariq Cohen's, and you're like, well, he's not going to do that in the NFL, and he did.
Sure. My favorite part of the draft.
Yeah, guys doing backflips.
My favorite part of the draft, though, is the families. I just love it because they're like, they've been with this kid for their whole life, you know, driving them to practice, and the mom is just like in tears, and I just, it's emotional.
It's also excruciating when they're not getting picked.
And then that's not fun either. Like, poor Tom Brady. That.
Dwayne Haskins' wife or mom of his children or whatever she is, who's like, wait a second.
She should have been gone by now.
Wait a second.
Why is this happening?
Hey, why did Riley Ridley, who a lot of people projected as a second or third, why did he fall to the fourth round?
Yeah, you know, I've done some digging the last couple of days just to make sure there wasn't anything else going on. Sometimes there's an injury concern that doesn't become public or anything like that. And I just think it's a matter of he doesn't have top-end speed. And in today's NFL, guys that aren't ridiculously fast, they're going to slip a little bit in the draft. So, you know, I think the Bears looked at the total package, and this was the one thing I do give Ryan Pace credit for. He sticks to the best player available on their draft board. Everyone says they do that, but not many teams actually do it. And I think, you know, maybe there's instances here and there where, you know, like maybe the running back in the third round, they wanted to make sure they really did get a running back. But I think in this situation with Ridley, they saw a guy who probably should have gone the second or third round. They said, this guy's still here. We're just going to take him, even though we have pretty good wide receivers right now.
The kicker position, obviously, priority number one this offseason, as we've talked about. They're set to bring in 5 rookie kickers to the minicamp this weekend. This is turning into like the Goose Island Kicker Challenge, where everyone just line up at Hallis Hall. If you can make a kick, you got a shot here. What
but
do we
have
know?
You guys seen this? Have you guys seen this Casey Bednarski kid?
I saw you tweeted it.
I have not seen
it. Okay, there's this video. This guy is the perfect Bears kicker, I'm telling you.
He's a ski. He'll fit right in here.
He's just a tryout player, but there's this video, you can check it on my Twitter at Adam Hogue. He kicks a 70-yard field goal, and that with his shirt off, by the way, and then does a backflip. All right, and he kicked a 63-yarder in a game. This dude is meant to be a Bear.
Perfect.
Bring him in.
All right,
suit him up.
Bednarski.
Oh gosh,
that'll only be mispronounced 4,000 different ways if he makes it here to
not
Chicago.
Not in this town.
But he's a Grabowski. So we like that.
Did they sign? Is he? Does he have to show up at camp? Is that the point?
Yeah, he's one of the 5 kickers. And actually, I think
that
the 3 kickers
that have been signed.
Just to clarify, there's going to be 4 kickers signed. That have, 3 of them were already signed the last few months. Okay, they added another signed kicker the last couple days. There's going to be an additional 4 who are just there this weekend as tryout players.
This is a lot of kickers. Is quantity better than quality now? Is that what we're going for? I mean, why do you sign that many and then try out more? What's the logic
here? Let's be honest. They don't have a kicker. I mean, they're literally just trying to bring in as many bodies as possible and hoping one of them sticks.
It's a magic man that they just want to go with one, right? But they got to find the one. This is like The Bachelor.
It totally is.
Yeah, for kickers.
Reality show.
Yeah.
For the record, I did ask Ryan Pace though this weekend about Robbie Gould. He did not rule it out. No.
But he doesn't sound very optimistic, does he?
Well, he doesn't have that's the thing. We talked about this on Friday. He can't force the 49ers to trade him.
And they seem pretty positive he's staying.
Well, they're saying he's staying.
He's staying.
But they're doing, as Adam Hogue disappointingly told me last week, that, well, if Adam were the Ryan Pace of the 49ers, he'd be doing the exact same thing. He'd be playing the game here.
Well, yeah, you hold on to him as long as possible, hoping that in August some team's going to be really desperate, and maybe that team's the Bears. And you got to make a move.
Only problem I have with this whole kicker thing is, remember that kid from Florida State that everybody said was going to be the next Adam Vinatieri, because he never missed in college.
Yeah, Roberto Aguayo.
Yes,
yeah,
he was a disaster.
Ended
is
up.
He?
Ended, yeah, it was a total disaster. He couldn't make a kick in the pros.
Yeah,
it was like the exact
opposite.
He didn't
even play a full season. He was done. And this was wasn't he a first round pick?
Second round pick.
Yeah.
That seems like the one position that would be more equitable to how you do in college to how you would do in the pros, because you're really just doing the same thing. Other than wind conditions or weather in a certain town, nothing really changes.
Well, the angle of attack changes in terms of the kick, because the hash marks are different in college. And they took the tee away, right, for the place kickers. Remember, they used to be able to kick a field goal off of a tee. And they took that away, where they put it down on a little dealy deal. So that is now it has become much, much closer to the real game. But you know, also this whole idea, they're going to take away the kickoff And I think they're going to take away the kickoff after this season.
Hmm. I wouldn't even care if they did, to be honest.
I don't know if it's going to happen that fast, but I do agree it's going to happen.
So when it happens, when the kickoff goes, I think it will, because you know you're going to have some sort of calamity.
There already has been plenty,
but this season, and people are going to go, well, what was the point of that? Because it really is time now for the kickoff to go away. So when the kickoff goes away, this is only going to be about accuracy and having a guy who's accurate within a number. They just got to know what that magic number is. They got to know, is the guy accurate within 44 yards? Is he accurate within 48 yards? What is it? And they just got to get to that. And that'll change the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is the kicking position is actually very similar to golf. In the swing of the leg and everything. And so when you see golfers just sort of lose it, sort of like Jordan Spieth's losing it right now. I mean, the guy can't do anything.
Don't bring that up. What are you doing?
But he can't. And it's like, how does a guy who's been so reliable in college, some of these kickers, they get to the pros, they just can't do it, even though it's the same field,
because they got
the same ball.
Athletic taped to goal posts the first day of practice at minicamp. And that's why they haven't gotten over the fact that, or somebody did something bad to him in the shower. All right, got to go. Adam Hogue, thank you.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Bednarski, thank you. Yes, we got that.
Bednarski.
I like that.
I like that name. It sounds like a Chicago beer.
It's a Chicago name. How you doing, Bednarski? How you doing?
Bednarski over here? Yeah. You met him?
Except for he looks like Clayton, Clay Matthews a little bit.
Oh, is he like,
that's a little disturbing.
Does he look like a mountain man sort of thing?
He's got the long blonde hair. And everything.
Yeah. Okay.
The big boy.
Okay. All right. Can we do this? What are we doing here? Kim's going to do news at the bottom of the hour, right? We got White Sox baseball. All that is happening. Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
Ro, it's not just mosquitoes you have to worry about this summer.
After last week's battle in Baltimore, Sox host the O's on the south side. Expect fireworks Tuesday at 7 on WGN TV. And right now I got a pair of tickets. If you would like to go see the Sox take on the Red Sox on Thursday night, and beforehand, Kevin and Lauren were going to be at Cork and Carry at the park. 33rd and Princeton, starting at 3 o'clock, sponsored by C.H. Buck, and they're going to be giving away tickets there, too. So caller number 15, 312-91-7200, rips us off for White Sox tickets. How about that?
Beautiful. Good luck.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No. It'll be fun. Baseball season is here.
Yeah. And we might be making an appearance at that that game as well.
We'll show up.
Mm-hmm.
After the show?
After the...
Head on over there.
Want to see what happens, because they're going to be... auditioning some of the CH Vodka products out there.
It's a hard job.
Kevin and Lauren.
Got to know the product.
Right.
Yeah. Familiarize yourselves.
Liars.
Right, that would be the worst.
The best vodka. Well, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah. No, it is. It's Chicago's
hometown vodka. No, I'm just saying you got to taste it in order to be able to make that claim confidently.
I can make that statement confidently right now.
I'm sure you can. And I would trust that coming from a very, very well-resourced position.
Yes, thank you very much. That would be the right way to put it. I've had my experience, and I can say that it is CH Vodka. And I love the fact that Chicago is in the game on all of this
now. I do, too.
It's like a century ago when Chicago was like the great beer maker for the, for the Midwest and then the nation. And I'd like to say, take that, Milwaukee. Take that, St. Louis.
Yeah.
But now, again, you know, between Goose Island and the Revolution guys and all, you know, it's amazing. Those are becoming bigger brands. The little guys here are still great. And now these great, great, great spirits that are coming out of Chicago
it's
as well.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Koval is another one that I've had that's really good.
Yes, and they're doing it. They're doing it all. They're doing it the right way. The Chicago way. I don't care what, some people say about Chicago.
Oh, people here, they know their beer, wine, and spirits.
Right. I'm going to punch their dumb nose down their stupid throat. That's what I'm going to do right there.
That's kind of...
And that's after a half a bottle of any formed spirit, whatever that happens to be. Oh, man. All right. So, Chicago White Sox baseball coming your way. Tomorrow on the program, a presidential candidate is going to join us.
Very cool.
Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang. You've heard the name. Now you're going to meet the individual. He's announced himself for president. He knows he's not going to win. But what he says about the future is why he's running for president.
Oh, it's mind-boggling. I just started his book.
Yep. So that's all coming your way. And right now, Kim Gordon's got the news brought to you by Permian Seal Basement Systems.